The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor, and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
Welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. We got a great show planned for you today. Here's what's affecting your life and your wealth. Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli, you know him as Dr. Maz. He's a senior executive vice president at Cooper Health. He'll be joining the show. We'll talk about why you shouldn't panic about the new healthcare bill and where the money will actually go. Later in the show, we'll discuss basketball and business as Josh Harris, he's the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, he got a sit-down with President Donald Trump. I'll explain why the 76ers are a good example for your business. Lastly, the Fed raised interest rates again. I'll explain how banks have capitalized to offset the increase. They're trying to control what they can't control. We'll talk about how you can control a Fed increase when you really can't control what Janet Yellen does. But first, let's talk about the proposed budget. Line items that the Trump administration and Congress and our elected officials are discussing. And a lot of noise circulating around this. Big one is the EPA. That's the biggest line item, biggest percentage change. But I want to go down the discretionary spending line items and the billions of dollars that we spend on government programs and things that the government touches, right? So, for example, you have the EPA, state and other development programs, agriculture, labor, the Justice Department, Health and Human Services, commerce, right? All these names are familiar to you. Much of them we have cabinet folks that have involvement. And the big noise is that there's been tremendous cuts by the Trump administration, in which they've lobbied for cutbacks in certain areas. So let's go. The biggest cut coming in the discretionary spending side of our government will be the Environmental Protection Agency. And of course, I've been getting tons of emails on this because I follow both sides. And the one side thinks that, you know, we're all going to have to find a mountain to climb up because of global warming and the sea levels are going to rise. We're going to have polluted waters. Bottom line is a 31% cut to the budget of the Environmental Protection Agency. So they're going to go from a baseline of $8.2 billion, I guess that's what these numbers are in, to 5.7. Big change. It's about a 2.5% change to the spending in that particular category. Then we go to state and development programs. There's a 29% change. We're going to go from 38 to 27. That's about a $10.9 billion change. Agriculture is down 21% in spending. Labor is going to be cut by 21%. Now, these are dollars that the federal government applies to these agencies that are put in place with regulation that our government creates regulation around. The Justice Department is going to get a 20% hit to its baseline. Health and Human Services, down 16%. Commerce Department, down 16%. Education, down 14%. So you can see these are very polarized topics. You know, many think the education in our country is bad as it is. And now they're saying, hey, you're gonna give less resources? And others argue that, hey, we're given all this money and it's still not working. So maybe it'd be better off operating in a different way than the government directing so many dollars to it. But again, that's the debate. And that's what gets the attention of the public. And it causes us to debate each other, react to our local politicians, whether or not they should vote for things or not. And so that's where a lot of this comes from. Now, what is going to get an increase? Veteran Affairs will be up 6%. So Veteran Affairs is getting more dollars, and that's something Trump wanted. Homeland Security up 7%. So Homeland Security is going to get an extra $2.8 billion. Defense is going to be up 10%. Trump has made it clear he wants to rebuild our defense. So out of most of the line items here, we're seeing cuts. Three areas are getting increases. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 line items are getting cut. 15 government agencies getting cut dollars. Three are getting an increase in dollars. So, good, bad, what do you think? Of course, the media is line iteming these, talking about them individually as one-offs. The bigger picture, we talk about how the government spends too much, but now we have something where the government is saying, hey, we're cutting some of these agencies and what they're getting. And now the media likes to line item with environmental protection getting the lion's share of percentage change, and we'll get a big chunk of the media noise talking about just how bad it will be for our air, our water, pollution. So this is line item. What I want to do is I want to tie this to us, me and you individually. And we can call our local politician and weigh in on whether we feel it's appropriate or not. The cuts, that's fine. This stuff is politics. It's our government. But what do we take away from it? Sometimes we look at this and we never really apply the process that's happening. And what I find interesting is that these are line items in a budget. This is, better yet, line items in spending. It's actually called discretionary spending in billions. It's something I think we need to do in our own households because you can see it and then showcase those line items that jump out at you. The media is looking at these line items and looking at what they can pull out to really touch a nerve with a core audience. Inside your own house, do you do this? By line iteming, you can see where dollars are being spent. We call it here at Cardesco Financial Network a spending plan. It's a picture of where your money's going and where you're spending money. And you can have fixed costs, fixed spending, and you can also have discretionary spending. All of them can be tweaked. What we're working on now is talking about the discretionary spending within these government agencies. But I want to tie it to you and what you do because I think it's very important. Having structure around your spending is a good thing. But don't use that word I just said, structure, as a negative. It doesn't have to be. It's just positioning it so you can see it. Next week, we're going to talk about happiness in our country and how happy Americans are and how good we feel. And we don't rank high. We're not in the top 10 as a nation. We're going to talk about that and why that is. I have my theory. It's because we have a lot of anxiety in our lives. And much of anxiety comes from our own doing. And sometimes you have to find ways to get over that. I find painting a picture can help a lot of people when it comes to their money and their finances to help them get over anxieties, which means when it comes to spending, a lot of relationships get compromised because of spending. Men tend to be the ones who say, oh yeah, my wife spends like there's no tomorrow, or my girlfriend. And then the girlfriend or the wife says, he doesn't make enough money. And you get conflict. The best situations are where we can see what we're working with. Because when you can see something, it gives another dynamic of how you can position so that things that can create anxiety don't. Here's what's important too. Some of you would say, yeah, I do that. And I do find that when I work with individuals, the ones that do have a spending plan, that spending plan is often just done by one person We call it the dominant spouse. I got a marketing associate who says you got to change that language. It's keeping her up at night. So we call it the household CFO. We came up with a new name. But just like the country's discretionary spending and the agencies, everybody's looking at it. Everybody's has a say in it. How many of us in our own household are including everybody else? I bet you're very few, because it's very few that I come across that do. Here's the other thing. It's usually not until crisis mode that somebody decides to put a spending plan in place. We have a number of folks that we work with, like you, who don't have a spending plan, don't line item, they have it calculated in their head, but they're never in a dangerous situation, meaning to run out of money, living paycheck to paycheck. So they're not in that position to be pushed and motivated to put a spending plan together. It's not until there's some type of conflict with regards to spending that there's a problem. And usually, for somebody who's not living paycheck to paycheck, the root of that problem is something different and not the spending. There's something else going on in the house, whether it's a relationship with a spouse, kids, or a family member. But it's the money that ends up creating the debate and the argument that ultimately it's not really about the money. It's about something else, and you have to get to that. I know it's sounding great for some of you that might live paycheck to paycheck. But those of you that live paycheck to paycheck, what type of spending plan? Yeah, and I know you can say, hey, are you talking a budget, Cardasco? Yeah, if you want to call it a budget, that's fine. I don't like the word budget. Where you're spending your money is what we want to call it. Because very few people live within a budget. It's where they're spending. And you know what most people's spending plan is? If I tell them to go back and let's line item, it's their checkbook. But you have to come up with a better way to show it, to take a look at it. It can't just be in the checkbook, because that's random, right? You have, you know, all types of things. You have taxes in there. So somebody goes in their checkbook and they're scrolling down looking for their taxes. It's got to be put into another way so it can be seen. Because if it can be seen, others can be included. And when it can be seen and others are included, you can then go about it in the right way of saying, can we cut in certain areas? And if we do cut in certain areas, where do we want to allocate to other areas? Right? The EPA got cut. First time they got cut in a long time. Defense is getting an increase. First time it's got an increase in a long time. That's your and my government. Some of you listening are not okay with that. Some of you listening are very okay with that. That's the dialogue we have. But I want you to pull it into your own house and leave the government agencies behind and look at yourself and say, hey, how do I take care of myself? Because all this debate over EPA versus defense, Homeland Security versus agriculture, much of that you can't control. What you can control is you. And the better we all are individually, the better country we have. So your spending is just as important as the federal government spending. I'd like you to take a look at it. Find a way to paint a picture of it. Beauty would be if you could create line items just like the federal government does. Many of you have investments. If you get an annual report of any of those investments you own, you're going to see line items of where money's spent. Warren Buffett sent his letter out to shareholders. There's an annual report. You can go in and see where money's spent. We don't have that in our own houses here in America. Most houses don't have that spending plan really nicely put together on a single piece of paper. And then, nor do they include the non-dominant spouse. I'm going to use that word again. One of those days to have fun with it. Very important. Get yourself a spending plan. You can see it. Where there's clarity, there's comfort, you can work with it. If you don't know how to do it, go to our website, cfnplan.com. And you can find tools there on helping you develop a financial plan, a spending plan, and ways to get yourself financially organized. I'm Steve Cardasco. It's the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Big part of your life is where you spend money. Big part of your wealth is how you spend money. And that's what we do here on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/CFMPlan. Don't forget, we broadcast every Saturday on 990 WNTP between 10 and 11. I'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dreams? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cordasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cordasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. Joining me now is Dr. Maz. Ladies and gentlemen, you know Maz. Him and I spent a lot of time over at WPHT when I was on there. Maz still does some work there with Rick Grimaldi. He's Senior Executive Vice President and Chief Physician Executive at Cooper Health. Maz, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah, it's been a while. So here we are, 990 WNTP. Glad to have you here as my guest. Nobody better to talk about the health care bill than you. Just as I was driving into work today, I hear AARP barking, you know, commercials saying, please call your local representative because this bill is bad for those of you that are 50 and 60 years of age. Just kind of jump into this thing. What do you think? Tell me, do you think that people will be able to receive appropriate care under the proposed health care bill? Let's talk about that first, what the care will be like, and then let's kind of talk demographically who gets shut out of this thing, who does better than others.
Sure. Well, let's start by saying it's not a bill about who gets care. It's about a bill about who gets how they get their care reimbursed, which, as we've talked before, is always there's a big difference there, right? So, you know, I always look at the Affordable Care Act, the Affordable Care Act, as a really an insurance reform bill about who gets access to care that the government really pays for. That's really the biggest part of that bill. And now this new bill, the AHCA, is really about reorganizing that, about who gets access to care, with really a lesser amount of people who get care, and then they get care in a different way. So really, this is not about who, it's not who gets care, it's who gets their care paid for, which is a big difference, right? And I think that's what people kind of forget.
So based on Obamacare, and then based on, I guess, the most recent tweak to the American Health Care Act and what the Republicans want to change it to, is it fair to evaluate whether one is better than the other? Because that seems to be what everybody is doing right now.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to hedge here. It's all relative to your position of whether it's better or not, right? So if you are a taxpayer who has insurance through your employer, and it's probably you're going to like the new bill better because ultimately the government's going to be over time paying less money out, and theoretically that's going to be better for you. If you are someone who is part of the Medicaid expansion, then you're not going to like this bill. You know, if you are someone who gets your health care off of the exchanges and you are in a group that now goes from what was a subsidy to now a tax credit, and you are in a group that is going to end up having a lower number because now it's based off of age and no longer off of income, you're not going to like it. So it really depends on what group you're in, whether this is overall a good bill or not. I mean, that's essentially what came out. And the CBO sort of promotes that you would say it from those different points of view as well. It is interesting that now this bill will give you tax incentives based on your age versus the Affordable Care Act, which gave you subsidies based on your income. And really, it has been shown that your age is more correlated to how much health care you will use than your income does. But of course, the Democrats are spinning that as, well, you're giving more tax breaks to those who are wealthy, which is technically true because you're not looking at income, you're just looking at age.
So wouldn't this be political suicide, though, for Republicans, knowing that we have a massive number of baby boomers in that 50 plus age bracket. How are they going to let? Are they just willing to go against that group? Because I got to tell you, AARP is hammering that group pretty hard that your Republican representative is going to increase your health care cost if you're 50 and up.
Yeah. So yes, I mean this is what they're banking on. What Secretary Price is saying is that if this worked all to plan, that eventually you would have enough competition in the insurance marketplace that it would lower prices for everybody. But, you know, the CBO projections is that that's not going to happen till at best way, way, way down the road, if at all. 2026 is not until you would even see any kind of benefits to some of that happening. And so, yeah, it is really not going to be good for a lot of the core of people that are Republicans. And if you just focused on the 200 counties that Trump won that Obama had won in the past, so you could sort of claim the 200 counties that helped Trump beat Clinton. Those are the counties that really have a large percentage of Medicaid, particularly the Medicaid expansion type voter, those that have Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Now, that kind of cuts both ways. You'd say, well, yeah, Trump is now shooting himself in the foot. And, of course, if you're Trump, if you're the Trump campaign, you'd spin it the other way and you'd say, well, the guy's making decisions not based on politics. He's doing what he thinks is right. So it kind of cuts both ways. But, yeah, this is going to be land squarely probably the pain and could hurt right in the middle of the midterm elections. And that's why you see, well, you have conservatives who really like the idea of getting the, you know, the government out of health care. You have a lot of the more moderate Republicans, particularly those facing election, saying, man, I am really concerned about this. And that's the issue at the core of this, Steve, is that the government is the number one insurer in the country. The number one insurer. And even if you eliminated Medicaid, let's say not just pared it down, eliminated it, the government would still be the number one insurer in the country because of Medicare. And so that's why, you know, entitlements just take up such a big part of spending of the federal government budget.
You know, they're the biggest. I mean, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and defense. That's it. That's the majority. Maz, what about the employer? Now, you went through, you said the taxpayer, you talked about older Americans, you talked about those on the exchanges. How about employers, meaning, let's say, you know, those that hire people that are taxpayer citizens?
So it's interesting you say that because really what the Republicans are trying to do and what the Democrats are spinning as you know, tax cuts for the wealthy. One of the things they're trying to do, and Price has said this, is trying to somewhat untie insurance, health insurance, from employment. And those tax breaks that they're giving people are meant to do that. They're essentially letting individuals have the same tax breaks that you get that when you work for someone and you pay your premiums and they're not taxed. So the idea is by doing that, you'll have people who have the ability to come off an employer-sponsored plan and be able to go out and compete in that open market and potentially compete for insurance plans that now cross state lines and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And that was the idea, is that you'd have employment-based enrollees would go down and you'd have some more people out there to have the insurance market sort of pick up. Because right now, the real customer of an insurance company is not a patient and not a doctor. The customer of an insurance company is an employer, because that's who buys the bulk of their product.
Well, like me, right. We just, yeah. I mean, again, this year we had to switch back to Aetna because, you know, we were shopping and, you know, we felt as if our employees would get a better overall package with them. And it was also good for the company.
Yeah, you're their customer. They don't. It's not patients. It's not doctors. It's employers, because that's who buys insurance, because that's who gets a tax. You know, that's who can buy stuff. They can pay for their premiums tax free, you know, or, you know, not taxed, I should say. And that's how it works. And the idea was to sort of uncouple that. Some of the plans, even some of the Republican plans that were introduced, you know, over the years in which they wanted to repeal and replace in the past, didn't have tax breaks for this. They did the inverse to uncouple them. They said, let's no longer give a tax break to employers when premiums are being paid on plans. And that was their way of uncoupling.
Well, it'll be interesting.
Which you can imagine not very popular.
No, it'll be interesting, too, because my bet is that there's going to be a second part of this. And just like Obamacare, there was a piece of the tax code I think that's even how the Supreme Court ruled, that they viewed it as more of a tax situation, and therefore they were able to opt out of making a decision on Obamacare. And you know, I'm just scratching the surface. But, you know, the tax agenda, Trump's tax agenda, the Republicans' Better Way bill or tax agenda will be coming second to health care. It'll be interesting to see what they do put in there, whether they allow deductibility, whether they take 50-plus folks who might be paying more and giving them a little bit of incentive. So there's this thing's going to – it's going to take a while for us to really see what this health care situation is going to end up being.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think the end game is that all of the money they save in this health care bill is meant to then turn around and be the way that they're able to do tax cuts in order to have this, because everything ultimately has to be paid for. So you can pay for your tax cuts with the money you save in the HCA that replaces the ACA.
Yep, I think
that's what some people say is the long game.
Yep. Hey, Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, Senior Executive Vice President and Chief Physician Executive at Cooper Health. And you hear Maz all the time. He's on the radio. He does a lot of work. I heard you on Smirconish not long ago. Real quick, you know my kids, Maz. My oldest, believe it or not, is heading off to college. He's a senior in high school. Guess what? He wants to be a doctor.
Love it.
You do? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to ask you because I got to tell you, I'm a little bummed out, Maz, because I have doctor friends and clients and they're like, why would he do that? And I'm like,
well, listen,
I don't know.
It's all relative, right? So all the doctors out there that, medicine isn't what it used to be, just ask everybody this question. So you ask any lawyer or you ask anyone, hey, if you won $100 million in the lottery, how many days a week would you practice? They'd say, what do you mean? I'd never go back to work again. You ask any doctor, if you won $100 million in the lottery, how many days a week would you practice? They're not telling you zero. What we do is special. We get to be involved in the most intimate part of people's lives, and what we do is get to save lives, prevent disease. It still is special, and even though things aren't as great as it used to be for those that have been around medicine for a long time, it still is a really unique and special career, and I encourage him to do it.
Hey, Maz, real quick, over at Cooper Health, you guys are doing some amazing things. I heard you on the radio not long ago. I think it was with a psychologist or somebody talking about addictions, and I got to tell you, a lot. If you look at my website, you'll see, yeah, we do planning. Yeah, we do investment strategies. But the other thing we do is we do a lot of lifestyle coaching. And boy, I tell you, helping people today that have addictions in their household is something I got to tell you 15 years ago I never thought I'd be doing. We're doing a lot of it here within our practice because when you intimately get to know your clients and you talk to them about what they have going on in their life, a lot of it ties to their wallet. It's this stuff. Can you talk about what you're doing at Cooper? Because I was amazed at the interview you did on the radio not long ago talking about it.
Sure. Well, we're doing more and more and more, as is everybody, really. I mean, it is an equal opportunity disease, addiction, particularly with respect to opioids. It is one of those things where it is, no matter your socioeconomic status, it is sort of infecting families of every level. So what we're doing at Cooper is really expanding our addiction services, something we didn't even do, just like your company. Mm-hmm. We didn't even do it really that much of it until, you know, not even that long ago. And now we're expanding it to the point where we're even going to be doing it right in our emergency department, where we will have all of our emergency physicians being able to start people on the treatments that have to do with addiction as soon as we interact with people, all the way to catching them in our primary care offices and clinics that deal with addiction and expanding that out. It's something you have to think about because it impacts every level of the healthcare system. So we're going to be expanding. We're partnering with all the other health systems in South Jersey. In fact, all the health systems in South Jersey that you may think of as competitors have been getting together to talk about issues with behavioral health, including addiction. So it has really gotten so big, it's actually made partners out of people that typically compete, because it's just such something that's so overwhelming and there's just not a lot of resources for it.
No, and I got to tell you, you know, it's like even on both sides of the aisle that I guess it was Congressman Ryan out of Ohio, right? Tim Ryan, who passed this opioid addiction and mental health bill that I think it was just 2 weeks ago that was, you know, both sides of the aisle were able to embrace it. Hey, real quick, I'll leave you with this. I'm reading a fascinating book and it's Patrick Kennedy. A Common Struggle.
Yes.
I don't know, but what a fantastic read. And there's somebody who is a true ambassador for just mental health and addiction. So anybody who's battling this within your family or with your loved ones, it's a must read. And those of you over in South Jersey, Cooper Health is pioneering down that direction. So Maz, great work you're doing there, because I know you're instrumental in it. So thanks so much for being here today. And thanks for being such a pillar in the community. You can email me, info@cfnplan.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. Back in a moment.
Hey, Rich Zilli here. My friend Steve Cordasco, financial advisor and founder of Cordasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax savings strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. And it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, and as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. We're going to bring it local. I want to talk 76ers and finance. But before I do that, you can email me, info@cfnplan.com. Also, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/CFN Plan. I want to put this story up because I found it fascinating that the 76ers actually made national news with regards to Donald Trump. How? What? Why? How'd that happen? No, Donald Trump wasn't sitting front and center. Actually, my kids were at the game on Friday, and Mark Cuban was sitting front and center. So there's the antithesis of Trump. The two don't like each other, and he was sitting directly across from my kids. My kids were lucky enough to score some tickets through a friend, and they went to the game and enjoyed it. But let's get back to the Sixers and Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump. Here's the tie. Josh Harris is owner, Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I don't want you to think it's just Josh Harris that's the owner, right? Josh Harris got an opportunity to meet with Trump to go over a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. So why does the owner, the Philadelphia 76ers, get an invite to Washington, D.C.? Granted, then listen, he was among several U.S. business leaders who attended a meeting with President Trump last week to discuss private financing for the administration's proposed $1 trillion nationwide infrastructure jobs program. So there was this group that got to go. But I don't you think he went down there wearing his Sixers jersey. He went down wearing a suit. And the reason is his company, the company he works for, is a private equity group called Apollo Global Management. So Apollo, if I can kind of help you understand this, sort of competes with the company Mitt Romney was with, Bain Capital, right? Remember, Mitt Romney was running for president. Everybody talked about the zillions of dollars he had. He was one of the one percenters out there, and that he made his money through private equity. Carlyle Group, another private equity group. Goldman Sachs has a private equity division, right? Private equity are companies that don't trade publicly. They're private. Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, is made up of a lot of private companies. So investing in private companies is a popular thing. Part of the investment solutions we have here at Cordasco Financial Network for some people can be private equity. Not everybody can invest in private equity. You have to be what's called a qualified investor, meaning you have to make a certain amount of money. Numbers are thrown around all the time, like over $250,000 in income. You have to have a certain amount of net worth assets. So it's for big players. Apollo Global Management has the Sixers as part of its portfolio of things that they own. Josh Harris is the one within the company of Apollo Management Group that is tied to the Sixers. He's the one looking at their numbers. He's the one looking at it from a business opportunity standpoint. That's why the local news talked about Josh Harris going and meeting with Trump. doesn't mean that Josh Harris believes in Trump or may have voted for him or not. He's been brought in because of his business savvy, which I want to talk about. Let's go to Trump's plan to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. As Trump says, the program is going to create millions of jobs if approved. What is the driving force behind an infrastructure build-out? Well, it's a plan that came out of Society of Engineers, which gave a D-plus to our nation's current infrastructure, which means it needs to be fixed. Both sides of the aisle believe this. I was listening to former Governor Rendell talking about how many of the bridges in our state of Pennsylvania are dilapidated and need an overhaul. Now, there's no immediate indication of what Harris might play in the development of an infrastructure build-out, but here's my curiosity. Here's what I take from this to give you kind of a look into my mind. I want to understand how Josh Harris thinks, because often how somebody thinks gives you an idea of the input they can give in solving problems and how they go about the type of work that they do. We haven't had a moment to go one-on-one with Josh Harris, but I thought I'd go to one of my ace producers, Vince Quinn, who you hear on WIP. He's a sports guy who is kind of close to this stuff. He's been on in the past with us. Vince, say hello.
Hello, Steve.
Thanks for coming on. Josh Harris, have you had much one-on-one time with him? Has he been on your show at all, or at any of the shows there at IP?
He's been on at WIP, and I've gotten to listen to all of the you know, speeches that he's basically given on the station. But I will say, as much as I haven't spent direct time with him, I follow what he does very closely with the team because I'm, you know, sports is what I do.
Right.
And so, being a Sixers fan, it's, you know, you got to keep an eye on him.
Right. So here's my take on the guy. He's a play it safe kind of guy. And I don't know if play it safe kind of guy is fair. I now view him as somebody who is like Billy Beane. Now, those of you that don't know Billy Beane, is one of my favorite books of all time is Moneyball. And the reason why I liked it is because I'm a math guy, but I also grew up playing the sport of baseball. I played Division I baseball in college. I mean, I'm a baseball fanatic. Here's what I like about baseball is statistics. Billy Beane was the first to bring statistical analysis to the game of baseball with the Oakland A's. For the cheapest budget, he could put a team on the field and make it the most profitable by taking players that statistically showed up at a certain place. Fast. I couldn't read enough of this book. My people I knew read the book. I was like, this is horrible. Who could read this book? Go rent the movie if you can't read the book. I can't get enough. Now, to me, Josh Harris is playing the same type of game, which means it looks like he's playing safe, which means he's willing to throw a couple seasons away with the 76ers, knowing that, look, if you're not going to be in the hunt to win it, why even be in the middle of the pack? It makes no sense to be in the middle of the pack. You get no draft picks. And basically, he's looked at the system. So he's a system thinker. He's an analytical guy who has a systems thinking approach, which is unique. So he's looking at it and saying, the NBA has set up the system of lottery picks. Statistically, there's probability factors that come out that you can get it down to pretty close to determining what you're going to get. Therefore, understanding the system as a whole, the worst team gets most of the balls in the lottery. It makes no sense to be in the middle of the pack. Go to the bottom, be at the bottom, get your picks, and then you might have a decade of tremendous success.
Yeah, totally right. And that's the thing. Josh Harris, you're saying he's playing it safe, and he's playing it safe by being a forward thinker. He's finding these small percentages that people have missed in that marketplace, which is basketball, and he's capitalizing on it. It's an obvious thing that he can do to be successful, and he's going full tilt into it.
And he's changing the game, because here's what's happening. The Sixers now are sitting some of their best players. Embiid, Russell, right?
Yeah. Ben Simmons is sitting.
They're taking their better players, sitting them where they need to sit. Now, other teams are looking at it and saying, wait a minute, I may as well sit my best player. Steph Curry sat the other day. Kerr, the coach, right, of Curry, said, statistically, we made the playoffs. Statistically, we don't need to win this game. Statistically, there's a higher probability of him getting hurt than if we lose the game, damage being done to us. All of that is circulating around, I believe, what Josh Harris is doing, which now says, hey, is Josh Harris being fair to us, the fans? Or is he one of these greedy business guys saying, we really don't care? You know, what you're going to get some bad years. We're going to have some good ones down the road. So, Vince, you're a Jesuit.
Yeah, I have that.
You're as far left
background
as they can get. You're not Catholic.
Nope.
What's your opinion on Josh Harris?
Josh Harris, as a business guy, he's done an excellent job with the team. And
But what about the fan? You shouldn't care about capitalism. You're not that kind of guy. What do you think about the poor guy sitting
in the
stand?
Well, as a fan, I hate his guts. I hate his guts, Steve. I want nothing to do with him. I think he's a bad person, and he's done everything to steal as much money as out of my wallet and other fans' wallets as he can.
Oh, see, now I thought you said that earlier because of the fact that he went down to visit Trump. But no, I'm just jokes aside. At the end of the day, though,
yeah,
is this the right decision for Josh Harris with the Sixers?
I think so. He, as a basketball sense, he's done the right things.
So here's what I want to tie it back, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the way I see him as being a thinker. And I want to tie it back to you and who you work with your money to understand how they think too. Okay? So here's where I'm going to go with this. He's playing it safe. Yeah. He's sitting certain players because he doesn't want to hurt them. Yes. He's letting the team be at the level where they're going to have more options for a lottery pick to get better players, right? We get that. That's what he's doing. He's committed to it. The fans are now chanting, trust the system. So in the end, I think he's going to be okay. In the interim, you get the opinion that Vince just gave. It's agonizing. You hate it. You want to move on. You want to wear another team's jersey. Let's pull it back to you and your wealth, okay? Because in your life, we can get all worked up about, you know, somebody who's a big money man trying to make the most profit, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to wealth and one of the three pillars we do here, and that is investment solutions, I often, when I look to place money somewhere, I want to see how somebody thinks before I put money with them of clients' money. So if you were working with me, I look to see how somebody thinks about things. The other side, too, is that what you need to take away from this, the Sixers parallel here, is that you sometimes have to wait. Another good book I read, its title is Wait. Nothing wrong with waiting. Nothing can ever be up all the time. There's no NBA team that year in and year out, forever, from their origination, wins it. No pro team does. You have some that dominate. You got the Patriots, right? You get the certain teams that are generational. They dominate. But usually there was a price to pay for that. And things happened in a certain way. Very few of us have read the history of the Patriots or even how the Crafts came to ownership and what they were able to invest in there. But to tie it back to you, to understand what the system is. Because when it comes to investing your wealth, there needs to be a system. And guess what? Sometimes that system is not always going to be on top. Being patient and waiting is an approach that works for many. Like I talked about in Warren Buffett's letter a few weeks ago, he talks about exactly that, that there will be times when things aren't good, but they will be planting the seeds for future growth. So the same comes with your investments. We're tying it to Josh Harris. He's off to Washington. I think he's going to make good input with what's there. But now let's bring it back to you and your life and your wealth. Same should be for you. Sometimes you have to be patient with something. If you can understand the process, and that's important to note. So an investment plan isn't always going to be a winner. But it's okay to question it to understand if it's not winning today, what is it doing? And if it's doing something today to help be a winner down the road, at that point, you have to trust the process. So there's the Philadelphia 76ers. There's Donald Trump. There's Mark Cuban. There's two good books for you to read. But ultimately, what I want you to take away from this is you and your wealth and how it ties to your life. Chasing a winner and being on the bandwagon all the time is a formula for failure. Because those on top today tend not to be on top tomorrow. But if they're not on top, what is their process? Are they working towards that payday? To me, the Sixers are. And there'll be a big payday. To the point where I just had myself talking to somebody that I work with here at Cardasco Financial Network. They want to buy Sixers tickets for their company. And they were agonizing me to do two seats and four. And they're buying a five-year package to try to get a better deal. They have to up each year. But they want those seats. I told them to go with the four because I think there's a high probability that they'll be able to sell one, two, three, or even four of those tickets at a price for one game that they get the whole season for. Because I think the Sixers over the next 5 years are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be a team that people want to watch. The Lakers are moving there, and you're going to see Sixers, Lakers. And I remember looking back what Sixers, Lakers tickets sold for when Allen Iverson was going up against Shaq and Kobe, and it was a hell of a lot of money. That's not stocks and bonds. That's me talking to somebody about sports tickets. But it all relates back to infrastructure in our country, the Sixers, and you and your life and your wealth. I'm Steve Cardasco. Thanks for listening. It's Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dream? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cardasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cardasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cardasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Boy, what a show. Covered a lot of turf, man. Went everywhere from Washington to the Sixers to the budget to your house. All over the place, but in a good way. I want to bring it back now to something that took place with regards to interest rates. Those of you recall, I talked to Jerry Bandmiller, who talked about community banks. Also talked about, you know, banking and lending in general. What's interesting, I find, is that Janet Yellen raised interest rates on Friday. I happen to be talking to some folks like, what do you think about Janet Yellen raising interest rates? I'm like, yeah, you know, really, I got to tell you, there's things you can control and things you can't control. I can't control interest rates, and I can't control what Janet Yellen does. Lucky enough, I was able to have lunch, sit at a table at lunch with her and have conversation with her. She was very engaged with me on what was happening to the public and within the public and financial planning. I was happy because she was one of a number of Fed leaders that I got to meet with. Paul Volcker, I shared a scotch with. Ben Bernanke, he drank bubbly soda water when I had an opportunity to meet with him in California. Janet Yellen was very proper. I didn't ever have a chance to meet with Alan Greenspan, nor would he want to meet with me. I think I beat him up for a lot of years in the media. But we can't control what happens with the Fed and what they do with interest rates. What we can control is what's in our life. So here's the strategy that I've been telling people. If you're worried about interest rates going up, you want to take a look at your line items that you have in your household of where you're spending money. And if you have a mortgage, and that mortgage is variable rate, meaning it can float with interest rates over time, you want to lock in so that your rate doesn't float. One thing you picked up in Jerry Mellon's conversation, he says, we have a lot of loans out there that float. So if rates go up, it means nothing to me. That means because he wins. But guess who loses? You do. So you want to look at, if you're worried that rates are going to go up down the road, at potentially locking in now. And that's a strategy some took on. Sometimes your local bank might tell you, or the bank you deal with might tell you, nah, you know, it's better for you to hold it. That's when you have to shop around. Because some banks may want to hold your note. And therefore, it's better for their bank than it is for you. Now, granted, you do get a lower rate than a fixed. But at the end of the day, you're buying yourself insurance. You can control that. You can't control what the Fed does. So there's my lesson to you. Thanks so much for being part of the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco, broadcasting on 990 WNTP. Don't forget, please friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/CFNplan. A lot of what we put on the air gets kind of put there first, so you see what's coming. You can also write me, go to info@CFNplan.com. Thanks for joining me, Steve Cordasco.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.